Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text, again, from Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, specifically these words of Jesus: "Do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." Over the last number of weeks, we have been taking a look at Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount under the theme of the most dangerous sermon ever preached. I think we could have also called it the most radical sermon ever preached. And after reading a portion of the sermon that we're using as our text this morning, I think we could also easily entitle this series the most absurd and the most confusing sermon ever preached. Because while many of the other statements that we have looked at over the last number of weeks in Jesus' sermon are a bit far-fetched and far-reaching, they're nothing compared to the words that Jesus gives us today. These words are completely out there, and they will put our faith to the test if we are truly to accept them and to live them. Jesus' words here are so far out and so absurd that our temptation is going to be to just kind of explain them away, as many folks have done. But to do that is to dishonor Jesus and to dishonor his word. And so rather than explain away his words as some sort of illustration or just an exaggeration to make a point, we will seek to understand them in the context of the dangerous discipleship to which we have been called through our baptism. First and foremost, in seeking to understand these words of Jesus, is the need for us to understand what Jesus wants of us and for us in our lives here on this earth as his children. In the Great Commission, Jesus told his apostles that he wanted them to disciple all the nations of the world. Just prior to his ascension, Jesus told his apostles that they were to be his witnesses. In an earlier part of this Sermon on the Mount that we've been studying, we studied a number of weeks ago, Jesus said that we are to be the light of the world. On the night of his betrayal, he told his disciples that they were to love each other and that they were to obey his teachings. And through his apostle Paul, Jesus has told us to submit to others out of reverence for Christ, to return no person evil for evil, and to bless those who persecute us. These are the things that God wants of us and for us as we live out our lives as his children in this world. Because, you see, these are the ways that we reflect him. These are the ways that we serve as his witnesses. If the ultimate goal of our lives is to disciple people for Jesus, to be witnesses for him, then living as an accurate witness for and a reflection of Jesus is imperative. And you and I cannot reflect Jesus and be witnesses for him if we strike back at someone when they hit us. We don't look like his witnesses if we aren't willing to sacrifice our comforts for others' needs. And we don't shine His light. If we avoid those people whom we know are about to come up and ask us for something. You see, somewhere along the line, we began to dismiss Jesus' words because they're hard. You're darn right they're hard. If they were easy, anyone could do them. But as it is, only those who have the Spirit of Christ can do them. Who else but those who are filled with Christ's love and humility and strength can turn their cheek and let somebody hit them again? Who else but someone filled with Christ's Spirit could give away to someone else what you yourself still need? And give even more. If you thought following Jesus was just about loving and believing in Him, oh yeah, and maybe also about trying to be a nice person, you've been living under a delusion about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. There are a lot of nice people in the world. You don't have to be filled with Jesus or to believe in Jesus to be a nice person. But to turn the other cheek, to return no person evil for evil, to allow yourself to be taken advantage of, that takes a special kind of love and strength and humility. It takes the kind that flows from the heart and the Spirit of Jesus, who was oppressed and afflicted. And what does the Scripture say? Yet He did not open His mouth. Who was cut off from the land of the living and who assigned a grave of the wicked, though He Himself had done no evil, no violence. Who took on the nature of a servant and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. That the name of God might be exalted. And that we might be forgiven and saved. Jesus suffered and died the injustice of a cross. And He rose victorious over the grave. There are too many churches and too many Christians who are teaching a false theology about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And about what God wants for us in our lives. And because of that, we have churches and we have Christians who teach a sanctified gluttony and a sanctified materialism. Because they say, well, God doesn't want us to be unhappy. We have churches and Christians who teach that having sex with someone who you are not married to is acceptable behavior. As long as you really love each other and are committed to each other. We have Christians and churches who teach that alternative lifestyles and relationships are perfectly natural because this is the way God made us, and He wants us to be true to ourselves. There are too many churches and too many Christians who have tried to make following Jesus easy. And it's not easy. It's hard. It's very hard. Jesus Himself said, if you want to follow Him, you need to take up your cross. And what He meant by that is you need to die to yourself. And that's hard. We lay aside our wants and our desires and our inclinations and our plans. And we seek to imitate and to emulate and to illuminate Him. Following Jesus isn't about making it in this world. It's not about having a comfortable life. It certainly isn't about being true to yourself. It's about being and living as a witness for Jesus, regardless of the danger, regardless of the difficulty, and regardless of the cost. Jesus said, "Do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Do you think he was just exaggerating? Just trying to make a point? If you do, then you don't really know Jesus. You see, he didn't forgive us merely so that we could go to heaven. He forgave us on that cross. He wiped out our sin, made us have a completely clean slate before God in order to change us and to empower us in this life also, so that we might reflect him. And that as we reflect him, others will see him in us. And that they too then might be saved. You see, we've been saved by God and we have been forgiven of all of our sins in order that we might be his witnesses. I pray that we might have the courage and the faith to reflect Jesus each and every day of our lives, regardless of the cost, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.